You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along, everybody, to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast, where we've got racing from Newbury, Ayr, Fontwell, Bath, Southall and two Irish meetings from Dundalk and Tipperary. So plenty to look forward to on Friday, and you'll hear it all live, of course, on William Hill Racing Radio from 1 o'clock with Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. But for the meantime, my name is Sam Norris, and joining me on Friday's edition of the podcast is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Chris? You well?
Yeah, very good afternoon to you, Sam. I'm in excellent form, thank you. Excellent form.
Good stuff. Fantastic Friday to look forward to, with plenty of action from both codes and from here and in Ireland. But before that, did you enjoy Aintree last week?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. What a wonderful day's racing. Unfortunately, I was only able to go on the Thursday, but the whole thing of Aintree, it's got a different feel to it completely now. The atmosphere was electric, the place looked absolutely stunning, and with four Grade 1 races to kick the day off, just fantastic.
Yeah,
for me,
absolutely.
It's moving ahead of Cheltenham by far.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, as a spectacle, fantastic.
I mean, we're certainly seeing a better calibre of horses go there now, the fact that we've got the 4 weeks after Cheltenham in between it, because when it's the 3 weeks, there was sometimes a tendency maybe that class horses from Cheltenham wouldn't go to Aintree as well. But how much do you think that's helped it, having the four-week gap in between?
I think the four-week gap certainly this year has helped them, because obviously they just had a little bit longer time for the warmer weather to come, and that promoted the grass growth. I mean, the track itself was in stunning condition. I mean, absolutely perfect, like a carpet, immaculate. No racehorse could have failed to act on that. It was absolutely superb, you know. And the whole thing about it's great. The from the people on the gates to the staff who are helping everybody out to the animal welfare that they've got there with all the fans and all the water facilities. Yeah, they've just really got it dead right now.
Yeah, that's good. And any personal highlights on the day for you on the Thursday?
I think there was loads of stunning racing on the Thursday. I think there was stunning racing over the 3 days. And I think, you know, the National was a huge success. A, because a class act won the race.
Yeah.
B, everything that went without a hitch. And, you know, I think full credit, now and again, we tend to shoot ourselves in the foot when things go wrong. But I think they should really take a lot of credit, because the whole thing was a fantastic advertisement for the sport of Kings.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with you. And we're potentially going to have some more fantastic action coming up on April the 28th as the Punchestown Festival starts. And Willie Mullins confirming today that the first three home in the Champion Hurdle, Foheen, Arctic Fire and Hurricane Fly, will line up against each other again. Throw Jeski into the mix and we could have some fantastic racing from Punchestown.
Oh, absolutely stunning. I mean, whether we call it the Punchestown Festival or the Willie Mullins Benefit Festival, who knows? But he's been the top trainer there, I think, 12 of the last 14 years or something, so he knows what it's like to have plenty of winners there. It's great that these horses are fit and well from the Cheltenham Festival and ready to rock and roll. Obviously, Hurricane Fly loves Punchestown, and again, you know, he could just run a big race again there. It's a completely different going on to Cheltenham, and it would be nice if he could beat Foheen. I think it's not be an easy task, but it would be a brilliant result for all concerned there. But yeah, loads to look forward to. And well, again, is it a 5 day festival, or a 6 day festival?
Tuesday to the Saturday.
And that'll take some getting, won't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd need to have a strong constitution, a very strong liver.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd need to be able to go with not too much sleep.
Absolutely, you'd have to be made of a very stern stuff for that, certainly, and an embarrassment of riches, of course, for Willie Mullins. In that particular race, then, it would be a fairy tale ending. Would Hurricane Fly be the pick for you, or could he make it 10 in a row?
I'm trying to live the dream there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's going to be very, very short for Geen, isn't he? I mean,
yes.
The way he
disposed
the opposition in the champion hurdle, there's no reason why he can't do it again for he and the machine.
Yeah, absolutely. But we look forward to seeing those four top-class performers going head-to-head once more. A punch just down towards the end of the month. Anything else been catching your eye recently before we move on?
I believe the flat season started now, hasn't
it? Yeah, well... Yes and no. It started, but the jockey's title hasn't started.
Oh, it hasn't started yet. I thought it was starting at the Craven meeting, no?
No, not the Craven meeting.
When's that going to start then?
Guineas weekend.
Oh, the Guineas weekend. Oh, you're going to wait a little bit longer yet?
Yeah.
So that all that good racing at Newmarket yesterday means nothing.
Yeah. But we've seen two strong favourites for the classics turned over.
Yeah.
John F. Kennedy coming third last week.
Bombed out.
Yeah, and Faidan bombing yesterday as well.
Yeah, so, exactly. So, interesting to see.
They're always a bit tough to call the old classic trials, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's only one man who can call it, and that's the guru, the bespoke KP.
Yes,
the man at paddock side. He's the one that's going to help us all out over these next few weeks when these two-year-olds are starting to come, the three-year-olds coming out as well. That's when we need KP.
Certainly
paddock side.
Yeah, and I'm sure King Ken will be able to point us in the direction of some winners. We'll move on then to take a look at Friday's action. As we mentioned, we're in that lull now between the jumps and the flat. We'll start at Ayr. Of course, it's Scottish Grand National meeting. This is the first day of action, and we'll pick out the big race of the day on the Friday. This is the 3:05, which is a listed handicap chase, 2.5 miles the trip. 13 of them will line up to contest it. A couple of useful sorts in this field, Chris.
Yeah, good field. Again, one or two of them getting a little bit longer in the tooth, but the top weight, Hollow Penny, just a 7-year-old, ran really well in defeat at Cheltenham last time out when we saw him. He was 5th of 23 behind Dana. Similar sort of trip tomorrow, 2.5 miles compared to the 2.5 mile at the festival. And for his efforts there, he got put up £2. But he has a good profile. He seems to be going the right way. And as I say, as a 7-year-old, there could be just a little bit more to come from him. Bray Spartacus is interesting. He's been doing his winning over hurdles of late. Last time we saw him was in April of last year at Aintree over the larger obstacles. He was off a mark of 140 there. He's down to 135. So if he can have his confidence bolstered by that success over hurdles, he certainly would come into the equation. And right down the bottom, Presenting Junior, who started his winning spree off a mark of 108, now runs off a mark of 124. Life's getting harder for him, but he is progressive. He's only got 10 stone 6 and he's back tomorrow. Again, he could well come into the equation.
Yeah, okay. Who gets the firm selection then in that one?
Well, I think it's not going to be an easy call with top weight for Hollow Penny, but I do feel that was a class run last time out, and hopefully he can progress from there.
Okay, fair enough then. Hollow Penny, number one on the card, getting the nod for Chris in the 3:05 at Ayr. We'll move over to Newbury then to take a look at a couple on the flats. The first of these comes up at 3:25. This is a 7 furlong handicap. It's a Class 2 event with 16 of them lining up to contest it. And as you might imagine, we've got a couple of Godolphin horses in the field.
Yeah, very, very competitive handicap. The trip 7 furlongs. And if all 16 go to post, then you've got a little chance of an each way on the first four home. So that's always a little bit of a boosty bonus. And again, one or two interesting handicap debutants here tomorrow afternoon. You've got Strong Chemistry, who ran really well in defeat last time we saw it. That was in a Group 3 at Newmarket. That was back in October. So that's a player, certainly. Archie only had one run. One success came his way. That was at Haydock Park over 7 furlongs. So he could be interesting. A bit more to come from him. You've also got Desert Force, an interesting one from the Hannon Yard. You've got David Barron with an interesting one, I thought. Kiako Chilio. I think that's how you're going to pronounce it.
I'll go with that, I'm not sure.
So we've got the Wolverhampton winner, Sugar Boy, representing John Gosden. And the other horse I thought was interesting is Capel Path. So Michael Stout's runner, who was a winner last time we saw him. And again, there certainly could be a little bit more to come from him. So it's a race of speculation. It's another race where paddock inspection will be vital. Interesting to see what Ken would say about these when they strip for their jockeys to get mounted. But I think I'm going to take a chance with the stout runner, Capel Path, hoping that he can progress from that Newcastle win last season.
OK, it's Capel Path then for Chris in the 3:25 at Newbury. Next up is the next race on the card from Newbury at 3:55. This one is another handicap, 5 furlongs the trip here. It's a Class 2, just as 7 of them go for it. Who do you like here?
Oh, this is very, very tricky, isn't it? 5 furlong dash, some really capable individuals here. I think, in all respect, you could nearly make a case for all of them, for one way and another. Lucky Beggar won this race last year. He ran well enough after that. He's had a little run under his belt 20 days ago. He should strip really fit for tomorrow's race. You've got Robot Boy, I thought was an interesting runner from the David Barron yard. He ran a cracker, I thought, in Musselburgh in behind Tangerine Trees. Thought that was a real good run 14 days ago. And obviously, you've got to think that Normal Equilibrium, who's got a £6 penalty for that success at Chelmsford City last time out, he could come into the equation as well. So just seven of them heading to post, but I think it's a fairly competitive race. I'm going to side with the Northern challenger there, Robot Boy, after that good run at Musselburgh.
OK, it's Robot Boy then for Chris in the 3.55 at Musselburgh. We're over to Bath then for the final race on today's podcast. This one comes up at 6.10. It's a listed filly stakes. Again, five furlong, the minimum trip, with 10 of them looking to contest this. And again, some nice horses line up here.
Oh, some nice horses indeed. Clive Cox is doubly represented by Musicora and Millie's Gift. I think both of those two come into the equation. You've got the Michael Appleby runner, Demora. She's got an official rating of 102, which on official rating, she heads the field with that mark. Many of the others struggle to get into the high 90s. And the other one that's got a mark of 100 is the Irish Challenger Newsletter. And again, she was very consistent last season, playing a trade in some real competitive stuff. You've got the Northern Challenger, Zahir Beynouna, from the Richard Fahey yard. That was a winner on the last time we saw it at Musselburgh, back in October. And again, she's an interesting sort that could be a little bit of more to come from. Goldcrest is very interesting as well, the Henry Candy filly. She came good again the last time we saw her last season, and that was at Windsor in a 0-85 competitive handicap, round races off a mark of 86. And you've also got the Stuart Williams runner, Holly Shiftwell, who again was in reasonable form throughout last season, and again could enter the mix despite only having an official rating of 83. So if we were working on official ratings and how the weights are and everything else, you'd have to think that the Irish Challenger Newsletter comes here with a big, big chance. But I'm going to take a chance with the Clive Cox filly, Millie's Gift. She ran really well last season, plied a trade in some competitive stuff, and I think tomorrow could well be her day.
OK, Millie's Gift then getting the pick in the 6.10 at Bath. If you could just remind us then, please, of your selections again for Friday's racing. We'll start with the 3.05 at Ayr. This one is a handicap chase. It's a listed event as well. 2.5 miles at the trip with 13 of them. Who do you like here again?
A very competitive handicap chase, as you can imagine. Good prize on offer. I thought Brave Spartacus was interesting, having had his confidence buoyed with two successes over hurdles of late. Presenting Junior is in real good heart with himself, but really scooting up the weights. His winning spree coming off a mark of 108, and now he runs off a mark of 124. But the selection is going to be the top weight, Hollow Penny, who ran an absolute blinder in defeat behind Dana in that very competitive Grade 3 handicap chase at Cheltenham.
OK, the 3.25 at Newbury is a 7-furlong handicap sprint. It's a Class 2 event with 16 of them lining up to contest it. Who did you go for here?
Well, let's hope all 16 stand the ground. And then if you're looking for a bit of each-way value, you're going to get paid out on the first four home. There's certainly some very interesting handicap debutants tomorrow afternoon in this race. But I'm going to take a chance with the Sir Michael Strout-trained Capel Path. Was a readied winner at Newcastle last season. And again, there could be plenty more to come from him this season.
OK, the 3.55 at Newbury is a 5-furlong handicap. It's a Class 2 event with 7 of them. Who gets the selection?
Yeah, very, very competitive sprint, as you could imagine. It's the Dubai Duty Free. And I'm going to take the Northern Challenger, Robot Boy, to land the spoils.
And the 6.10 at Bath is a listed filly stakes over 5 furlongs with 10 of them lining up to contest it. Who gets the nod?
Well, it's a race for the girls. It's the filly's only listed race. And I think this is a golden opportunity for the Clive Cox filly, Millie's Gift, to get some listed form next to her name.
OK, excellent stuff. Then there we are, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott ahead of Friday's action. And you'll hear it all live, of course, on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. They've got Newbury, Ayr, Fontwell, Bath, Suttle to cover domestically. We've also got Dundalk and Tipperary from over the Irish Sea, so absolutely plenty to go at on Friday. Do join us from 1 o'clock for all of that. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Pimmers, and good luck with the action.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.